Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Your grain futures Friday on the Chicago Board of Trade finished in positive territory to finish off a pretty dismal week last week. Corn for September was 10¼ cents higher to 371. December corn was 9¾ cents higher to 380¾, and March corn was 9¼ cents higher to 392¾. Soybeans were also higher. September contract was 9¼ cents higher to 867¼. November beans were 9 cents higher to 879¾. In January of next year, beans were 9¼ cents higher to 893½. Chicago wheat for September was 1¾ cents higher to 470¾. December wheat was 3 cents higher to 477½ Friday. And March wheat was 3 cents higher as well to 484. Bean meal on the September contract gained 310 to 294.90. October gained 320 to 296.80. And December bean meal gained 340 to $300.30. Soybean oil for September gained 6 cents to 29.13. October bean oil gained 6 cents as well to 29.25. And December bean oil was also up 6 cents to 29.51. So to recap, corn was 9¼ to 10¼ higher. Soybeans were 9 to 9¼ higher. Wheat was 1¾ to 3 cents higher. Soybean meal was $3.10 to $3.40 higher. And soybean oil was 6 cents higher Friday. Now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Friday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Friday's reported grain price and trends for Purvey, the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were higher on Friday afternoon. DTN and Progressive Farmer Crop Tours are finding lower than expected yields as they conduct their tour. Their nationwide estimate yields were 163.2 bushels an acre for corn and 44 bushels per acre for soybeans. In northern West Illinois country, annuals quoted chow corn bids 9 to 10 cents higher, 331 to 369. Soybeans bids are up 9 to 13 cents at 790 to 826. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted chow corn bids 10 cents higher at 356 to 380. Soybean bids are up 9 to 14 cents at 824 to 850. In the southern part of the state, chow corn bids were 7 to 10 cents higher at 335 to 395. Soybean bids are up 8 to 15 cents at 821 to 860. And wheat bids were 1 to 2 cents higher at 430 to 471. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids are 9 to 11 cents higher at 852 to 880. Basis is unchanged up to a 28 under the option in November. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 284.90 to 299.90, up $3.10 a ton with basis steady at 10 under the 5 over the September. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 10 to 12 cents higher at 383 to 399. With basis unchanged up to a 12 over to 28 over the September. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted to produce corn bids 10 cents higher at 331 to 381. With basis steady at 40 under to 10 over the September. Soybeans ended up 11 to 13 cents at 841 to 849. Basis is up 2 to 4 at 39 under to 31 under the November. New crop wheat prices were 2 cents higher at 421 to 432. Well, basis steady at 50 under to 39 under the September. East St. Louis barge loading terminals placed their producer corn bids 10 to 14 cents higher at 363 to 366. These elevators raise their soybean prices 10 to 11 cents. So quotations at 873 to 874. Soft wheat closed mostly 2 cents higher at 472 to 473. And Milo ended the day up 10 cents. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 324 to 371, soybeans at 814 to 850. And in the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 353 to 376, soybeans at 820 to 865. In the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 317 to 389, soybeans at 811 to 850. And that concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Your livestock futures Friday finished in negative territory. Live cattle for August were 27 cents lower to 99.92. October live cattle were 47 cents lower to 98.05. And December live cattle were 75 cents lower to 103.52. August feeder cattle were $1.20 lower to $134.57. September feeders were 92 cents lower to $132.37. And October feeders were down 90 to $132.85. Finally, October lean hogs lost $3 to $62 even. December lean hogs were $2.97 lower to $60.77. And February hogs were down $2.22 to $68.02. Now to recap Friday's livestock futures, live cattle were down 27 to 75 cents, feeders were down 90 cents to $1.20, and lean hogs were down $2.22 to $3. Now we'll take you back to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Friday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday Afternoon Livestock Report. Starting the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded 49 cents lower, in a range of $59 to $74, with a weighted average carcass price of $69.65. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow price were steady with moderate demand for light offerings. U.S. 1 to 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded 33 to 36, 4 to 5 weighted 34 to 40, 5 to 6 weighted 36 to 44, and over 600 pounds 37 to $48. In the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels and gelts country buying points were steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $41 to $49. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gelts totaled $16,665. In the direct cattle trade, in the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and live basis trade at $105 to $107, and on address basis at $170 to $178. Choice heifers and live basis trade at $105 to $107, and on address basis at $172 to $178. From the National Daily Pork Plant Port, trading for retail and processing cuts was established, with 352 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass is $86.26, which is $1.97 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading higher. Choice carcasses are $238.69, which is $2.57 higher, while select carcasses are $213.26, which is $2.59 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 114,000 compared to 118,000 last week, 118,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 454,000 compared to 451,000 last week and 444,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And in Ag News in Part 2 on this Monday morning, the Department of Agriculture's August crop production report surprised commodity markets, sending corn futures lower last week. American Farm Bureau Federation chief economist John Newton says the market didn't expect the amount of planted corn acreage in the report.
The crop report showed us that we had about 90 million acres of corn planted this year. That was down only about 1.7 million acres from the June acreage estimate. I think all eyes were on the corn number. Many in the trade expected that to be about 86 million acres and a yield of a 164, and we saw a yield of 169.5. Left a lot of folks scratching their head on these particular numbers.
The acreage numbers from USDA NAS don't match the Farm Service Agency's data. However, Newton says the gap of 5 million planted acres will decline.
5 million acres is as of their August crop estimate. They're going to update that again in September, October, all the way through January. And usually the gap between the FSA and the NAS number starts to narrow as we get towards January. So while it's 5 million acres today, it's definitely going to shrink, and I think we'll converge closer to that NAS 90 million acres number. But then the big question is, what's our harvested area going to be?
Newton also says it is important to watch the yield numbers in following reports.
Had an opportunity to visit with Indiana Farm Bureau members last week, and they're talking about yield declines of 20%. That's larger than USDA's 12%. So I think the yield number in September's objective yield survey is where all eyes are going to be from now on.
Again, that's AFBF chief economist John Newton. And while in crop news, a private firm forecast of the nation's crops greatly differs from the Department of Agriculture's data released last Monday. That's true for many expectations, but the data from the USDA still sparked a negative market. Generated by Indigo Ag's Living Map Atlas, forecasts for both corn and beans are down from the company's July report. Corn production is forecast at 12 billion bushels, and soy production is forecast at 3.7 billion bushels, down 3.2% and 12.6% respectively. The USDA predicts corn production at 13.9 billion bushels and soybeans at 3.68 billion. And over the past month, favorable weather conditions, including hot weather and adequate rainfall, have aided crop health across the U.S. Given the late start to the season, however, crop development is still significantly delayed. That development will be monitored over the next month. Indigo Atlas combines remote sensing equipment, weather, and historical data to deliver models that assess crop health and production at the field, county, state, and national levels. In continued crop news, the U.S. ethanol industry, struggling to make up for lost demand from the China trade war and domestic ethanol waivers, is aggressively seeking new export markets. The Renewable Fuels Association just wrote Australia's energy minister to reduce the nation's ethanol import tariff and customs tax and consider buying more U.S. ethanol instead of U.S. oil as a hedge against new Middle Eastern turmoil. RFA President and CEO Jeff Cooper says U.S. ethanol needs new markets amid the loss of the China market and the U.S. oil refinery waivers from buying ethanol credits.
EPA and the small refiner exemptions have reduced demand for our product domestically. In the past, when we've had these sorts of situations in the domestic market, we've been able to turn to the export market, to the international market, and increase exports.
But the trade war with China and others has forced the search for new export markets like Australia.
We used to send 200 million gallons plus to China. Today, we're not sending a drop of ethanol to China because they have a 70% tariff on our ethanol. Brazil's another market.
Where there's both a quota and a tariff. So Cooper hopes Australia, now considering buying oil from the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve, chooses U.S. ethanol instead. He says Australia wants to cut its carbon footprint as a party to the United Nations Paris Agreement, and ethanol, not oil, will help do that. In international livestock news, the world's biggest pork consumer just bought over 10,000 tons of U.S. pork sometime between August 2nd and the 8th. Reuters says that was the biggest purchase of American pork in almost 2 months. The pork purchase is due for a shipment this year as African swine fever continues to ravage the world's biggest pork herd. The Chinese Commerce Ministry had said on August 5th that the Chinese companies have stopped buying U.S. farm commodities after yet another escalation in the trade war with the U.S. Reuters says it is not clear if the pork was bought before or after the August announcement. Analysts say the sales are seen as a sign that China needs meat from the United States to help offset the death loss of millions of pigs. Steve Meyer is an economist with the commodity firm Kearns & Associates, who says it's a new booking, which is positive. China's duty on American pork sits at a whopping 62%. President Trump backed off last week on part of his plans for 10% tariffs on all remaining Chinese imports starting September 1. Late last week, China said it would counter the latest U.S. tariffs. Back here in the States in livestock news, the recent immigration raids at a Mississippi poultry plant are bringing new scrutiny on the processors who employed the 700 arrested workers. An AgriPulse report says the Department of Homeland Security wrote in court documents that the companies were fully aware that the workers were undocumented immigrants. In fact, some of the same workers that were arrested had already been detained for being in the country illegally and were wearing ankle bracelets to track their whereabouts. Court affidavits were unsealed and detailed numerous arrests of illegal immigrants over the years who had worked at the 7 facilities that were raided. One of the companies had a history of employing undocumented workers up through June of this year. The affidavits also say companies had failed in many cases to verify the eligibility of the workers through E-Verify. One affidavit showed a company had employed 25 workers who had not been searched for in the E-Verify system. The National Chicken Council fired off a letter to President Trump saying that the industry uses every available tool to find out if workers can legally be employed in the United States. However, they say the government hasn't given employers a reliable way to prevent identity fraud and false documentation. Moving on now to state ag news. As the school year begins in Illinois, there is a new class that could be offered in many local high schools. I spoke with Jeff Hopkins with the Illinois Department of Natural Resources about the new hunter safety course that would be offered at high schools across the state.
One big thing that came out not too long ago, Governor Pritzker passed a bill that would allow more education for natural resources and hunting education to be offered in schools. But this has also been something that has been going on for a while, but this is more of like a blanket amendment in a way.
I'd say a blanket amendment, a blanket clause that allows school districts now, if they would like to offer hunter safety as part of their curriculum, they can actually call it hunter safety and offer it in their course. In the past, we've been able to incorporate hunter safety through volunteer instructors that are also ag teachers or industrial art teachers that have incorporated the class within another class, shall I say. They're certified instructors through us, and they take our hunter education course and curriculum, and then they incorporate it in a natural resources class in the school. So when the kids get done and go through it, they get certified in the program when they're complete.
And in a way, in the culture around the country with gun safety being a hot topic, this has to be one of the reasons why probably it was passed.
I think that's a good reason for it. It allowed the gun safety to be brought into the class under, shall I say, a different umbrella. But yes, in the hunter safety program, it takes about four hours at least is firearm safety, handling, storage of, zones of fire, carrying of the firearms. So it's a good portion of the class to incorporate if individuals aren't familiar with it.
And we were also talking how that the Department of Natural Resources and the Department of Agriculture, and just in general, they go hand in hand. So that's how it can be allowed as an ag teacher can teach this kind of curriculum.
Correct. Hunters hunt on farmland. Farmers respect, they want the hunters there to remove the wildlife that's destroying the crops. So if we get the both working together, it benefits us both.
And that's also kind of an initiative that Director Sullivan and Director Callahan with the Department of Natural Resources that they've been trying to work on as well this year.
Correct. I think they've been trying to bring Ag and DNR more as a unity to work together on things like this, which I feel is going to be a benefit for both agencies.
And moving forward with just different programs and things like that, is there anything new coming down the pike that the Department of Natural Resources would like to implement now that we've got a budget? And that's kind of a thing we haven't been used to lately, but is there anything down the pike that the Department of Natural Resources sees coming?
I think the budget is going to be a nice thing to hopefully get things rolling again, just what we used to have. We put a lot of programs on hold because of that. So if we can get a lot of the stuff back and going, my section alone, safety education, we just hope to be able to do more instructor trainings, more instructor recruiting. We put a lot of that on hold because of the budget and the funding. But hopefully now we're going to be able to get staffed. We're actually hiring staff. I've got three new staff within our section. We're trying to hire one more. So when we get full staff, we're going to be out there working in the classes and working with the volunteers more.
And again, that was Jeff Hopkins with the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. And on the topic of back to school, schoolwork and extracurricular activities had made family sit-down meals almost a thing of the past. And although the dinner table has faded away from some families, its importance is not. Jill Williams is the nutrition educator for the St. Louis Dairy Council. She says it gets specifically hard this time of year when families are transitioning from summer to back to school.
I'm a mom, too, so it's hard sometimes to really just sit down and have a family meal together. But actually, some studies have shown that having family meals together helps with so many things, with even like lowering substance abuse in kids, depression, having higher grade point averages, higher self-esteem, just having a chance to really connect and talk with your kids. And it also has really good health benefits as well, because then you're thinking about, you know, better nutrition because you're not eating out or getting, you know, that fast food and that sort of thing. You're getting more opportunities to have fruits and vegetables and to have those dairy products as well.
The short-term benefits to family meals are lower rates of obesity in children, encourages kids to try new and healthy foods, and kids don't typically eat junk food for a home-cooked meal. Williams says just as important as family meal time is dairy in your diet.
It's an easy addition to your diet, and each serving of dairy is going to provide about 30% of your daily calcium needs. It also contains lots of essential nutrients, so it's a really good source of protein. I know my daughter doesn't really eat meat that much. I have a hard time getting her to eat meat. Like, she'll eat eggs and stuff like that, but she loves dairy foods. She'll eat cheese all the time or yogurt, so I'm not really that worried about her getting protein because I know that she's eating those dairy foods. It's easy to incorporate it. It accompanies other foods well, or even like dips for fruits and vegetables and things like that. It's an easy thing to incorporate.
Williams is also a registered dietitian. You can email her at info@stldairycouncil.org to find out more about the St. Louis Dairy Council, or visit their website, stldairycouncil.org. And we'll be hearing more from Jill this afternoon in the Noon Farm Show. Moving on now into local news, this Friday will be the first Breakfast on the Farm event to be held at Nodal Limited Farms in Witt. With more on this first-of-its-kind event, Heather Hampton Nodal with Nodal Limited joined David Jenkins and I in studio.
Yes, our farm, Nodal Limited, we are really excited to be working with the Hillsborough Chamber of Commerce and Montgomery County Farm Bureau to host the first-of-its-kind Breakfast on a Farm. So we're inviting anyone who's interested in learning about 21st century farming to come on out and join us for a complimentary breakfast and a few interactive, we hope to be fun things.
What are those fun things? Can you tell
me? Well, yeah, I think I can remember, yes. We have Nokomis FFA chapter that's going to have a trivia contest patterned after a Jeopardy-type concept. That'll be one of the stations. So we'll have kind of a brief good morning after everyone eats their breakfast and welcome. Then going into trivia for one station, and another station will be technology, where people will get to learn about solar systems and remote-operated grain bin controls and drones at one station. And another one will be equipment, so you get the chance to climb up into a cab. Maybe it's one of those giant sprayers that, to me, look like something off of Star Wars, right? You drive down the road, yeah. Semi, other things. And then a fourth station will be learning about food labeling, because there's a lot of information out there and a lot of labels out there, but what does it mean? And then people get to rotate through all four of those and then come back together, and we're going to do a commodity trading kind of game. So looking forward to it. And it's also a chance to eat some M&Ms there at the final end. That'll be part of our commodity trading game.
Can never go wrong with M&Ms. Gabe, you probably know more about the actual agriculture-related stuff that she just described anyway.
Well, and two, what I was going to ask Heather is, this is more of a chance for people that might live in town to get an actual opportunity to actually see how farming is done now, because I wouldn't say stereotypic, but, you know, everybody thinks, oh, open cab tractor, they plow, then they plant, and then it grows. But there's a lot of steps to go into farming today.
There are. It is truly year-round. And on our farm, we have corn and soybeans, so it's a lot of what people see grown around here. We also have Angus cattle, black Angus, I always like to say, remind everybody. And that'll be a chance for them to ask some questions. Right? Because even people who grew up on a farm and maybe now are retired from some other business or state employment or something like that might say, yeah, the size of the equipment has changed, and my guess is the amount of technology and just how you do things. And it's literally changing every day. So, Gabe, you're exactly right. We just want to give people a chance to ask some questions, learn about it, and see it firsthand.
It's a free catered breakfast, I understand. Are you requiring reservations or anything?
It would be nice if people could call the Hillsborough Chamber of Commerce, or you can register online at hillsboroughchamber.net, I believe, is their website. And there's a neat little registration thing there, because we'd like to make sure we have enough food.
Right.
So that's the key. And also tables and chairs for when we come together so people are more comfortable while they're on site.
That's kind of important.
It is.
Having a place to sit.
It is. And we're really lucky, because the response from our friends in the agriculture community has been tremendous. Security National Bank was excited to be part of it. Nathan Clements and Greg Holcomb with Country Financial are really on board and super excited. M&M Service Company. And we've had several others, like Matt Stolte with Pioneer says, hey, can I help you park cars? I'll bring my Gator or whatever and come down and help. And Seavers and Sloan's have said, we'll donate some little toy tractors that people could win in the trivia contest. So it's really been just a neat kind of team and family type exercise as we plan for this.
So the breakfast is catered by Milano's Catering. I didn't even know they did breakfast.
They do. I don't know when Jason sleeps, right?
Okay.
Because
right.
You go and you talk to him like, oh, yeah, I've been up since 3 doing a breakfast. I have another noon event and then an evening prime rib, right? And he just rolls with it. But we know it will be good.
What kind of, do you know what kind of food you're going to be in for?
Well, definitely B&Gs, as Caitlin with the Chamber says. So biscuits and gravy for sure. And Prairie Farms has donated some milk and yogurt for people, so, and different flavors of milk and orange juice, which another wonderful kind of donation that came out of the blue. We have, what else was it? Pancakes, I think, and eggs and bacon. We've got to have bacon.
All classic breakfast foods.
I know.
It's nice to see local businesses like Milano's and Prairie Farms involved in something like this as well.
It is, and that's what I'm saying. It's been fun to get that kind of positive response, and we'd like to be part of this. And now our hope is, we know it's on a Friday morning, and we know we tried to set this 7:30 time. It sounds early to some people and not early enough to others, right? So, and Gabe in Farm Broadcasting is like, shh, early, I'll tell you early. But we wanted it in a time frame that if people had to go to work, you know, they might be able to still show up by 9:30, right? We're going to be done by 9 a.m. And if people want to stay around and ask questions, they can. But otherwise, you give them that chance to go ahead and get on with their day, too. So we're hoping this time frame can work out. Those who are currently employed and working on the Friday, and those who are retired and are looking for a way to keep learning.
And again, that was Heather Hampton Nodal with Nodal Limited Farms. And this Breakfast on the Farm event will be held this Friday morning, August 23rd, from 7:30 to 9 at the farm site in Witt at 106 East Oak Street. And another event's coming up locally this week. This Wednesday, the 21st, will be an interagency meeting at the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro. That meeting will begin at 9 a.m. Wednesday. Also on Wednesday will be the Illinois Summer Wheat Forum, which will be held again Wednesday at the Oakville Community Center in Oakville. Registration will be on-site and begin at 8 a.m., and the session will begin at 9. The forum will conclude at 3 in the afternoon, and lunch will be provided. Registration fee for Illinois Wheat Association members is $20. The general public may attend for $40. Certified Crop Advisor credits are also available. For more information and an agenda, you can visit the Illinois Wheat Association website at illinoiswheat.org or call Mike Doherty, the interim executive director with the Illinois Wheat Association, at 309-557-3268. Also coming up this week, beginning Thursday, will be the Half Century of Progress show at the Rantoul National Aviation Center in Rantoul. And if you need more information on that event that'll be held through Sunday, the 25th, you can visit their website, halfcenturyofprogress.com, and they also have Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. And that just about does it for this Monday morning edition of the Ag Show here on WSMI. But remember, if you're a roving reporter with Ag News, you can send that Ag News to us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So for this Monday morning, August 19th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.